So I have a question. Does, is my phone the only one that tells me on Sunday morning how much I've been on my phone? Or does anybody else's phone do that?
Well, you said yours does percentage.
Yours
does exactly the hour down to the minute.
Yeah, mine tells me this many hours, oh, you're up 43%, you're down 22%. Yeah, there are some times where I say, I probably should have been on it less. What does that have to do with this afternoon service? I have a subject. This Thursday was Thanksgiving Day. If we were looking at our mental folder, if God could give us that same little clip that we see off of our phone each week, maybe Sunday morning is probably a good time to let us know. And he would say, this week you have spent this many minutes or this many hours with a thankful heart. It doesn't mean that you were saying it verbally, but just with a heart that was telling God thanks. How much time would he tell me? And would he next week compare it to this week? You're up, you're down, you're whatever. So what I'm interested in doing this afternoon for a little bit is let's take a look at our thankful folder. Could we add to it? Could we build to it? There are verses in the Bible that I would like to have stored away in my mind that helps me to be more thankful. And so right at the beginning, do you have a verse that you would like to share that puts us in the thankful mode that the Bible tells us about giving of thanks or how we should do? I have some scriptures, but I'd like to hear yours if you have one that you want to share. And where would we find them? I'll give you a few, and then you add if you have some. I was looking over in Psalms 136 and 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endureth forever. And Psalms 136 is the one that every verse says, his mercy endureth forever. You know, if sometimes I wonder, what do I have to be thankful for today? How can I spend more time with a thankful heart today? This would be a good place to start. Lord, I'm so thankful that your mercy endures forever. That he does not, he's not interested in cutting us off. It's his desire is that everyone would be able to make heaven their home. So that verse, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endureth forever. Does anyone else have one? Psalms 92 and 1. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. So I'm thinking about it. If next Sunday morning the Lord's going to flash on my little screen, Dan, you have had an increase of thanks to me this week, or you've had a decrease of thanks to me this week, how would it be? It's a good thing to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. It's a good thing to give thanks. Psalm 68 and 19. Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits. Are we able to see the benefits that the Lord gives us? I think one thing the devil would like for us to focus on our troubles, on the things that we don't have, and fail to realize the benefits that he daily loads us with. And it made me think, what benefits does he daily load me with? Just in temporal things, Remember when Paul was talking to the people at Athens? He's trying to even tell them who God is. And so he started sharing with them some of the benefits that come from God. It says he giveth to all life, breath, and all things. You know, I need to have it in my mind today in 2023. God still gives to all life, breath, and all things. If I have it, it's because it was a gift from God for me again today. And then it also says where he was talking to him in Athens, in him we live and breathe and move and have our being. Everything for me to be able to function in life is a blessing from God. We sing this song, my life and my breath are in thy hands, my joys and all I know. I live and I breathe at thy command. You know what? He will determine when my last breath is. I live and breathe at thy command. Then shall I leave thee? No. For me to increase the thanks that I give to him, and it's not just maybe walking around verbally doing it, but just in my mind having a thankful heart to the Lord for the things that he does for me, I need to recognize where it comes from. Psalms 100. I'd like to read, there's five verses in this Psalms 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. And this is a valuable thing for me when I want to give thanks to the Lord. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We're his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving for what? I've just realized that you made me, Lord, and not myself. The things that I have are a blessing from you, and we'll look into that in just a little bit. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. If I have some things going for me today, it's because the Lord has blessed that effort. When we give thanks to somebody, it's recognizing that they were the one that did it for us. Nebuchadnezzar failed to do that. There was no thanks given to God when he said what he did. What did he say? Is not this great Babylon? I built it for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty. A lot of me and my and I in that little phrase. I was the one that did it. And you know, if we take a look at accomplishments in our life, and we look at them as if I were the one that was able to make that accomplishment, we don't give much thanks back to God for it. There is a reminder for us in Deuteronomy. It was a reminder to the children of Israel. You know, they had been over in slavery, and now they're going to be free. In fact, they're coming into a land where it's going to be really nice. First of all, they're not going to be a slave. And then they're going to come into houses that they didn't even have to build. They're going to come in where there's vineyards already producing. And then a warning comes. Deuteronomy 8 and 10. When thou hast eaten and art full, bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he giveth thee. And then it says, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments, judgments, statutes, which I command thee this day. Because here's what can happen to them and to us. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full, hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein. When thy herds and thy flocks multiply, thy silver and thy gold is multiplied. All that thou hast is multiplied. Then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. So he's letting them know, be real, real careful, because when things start prospering for us, you know, when people are in dire circumstances, they don't even know if they can get a meal tomorrow. It's real easy to be going to the Lord for my needs. But when everything is going good, this warning is for us. It says, your heart can get lifted up and you forget the Lord thy God. And then it says on down in the 17th verse, here's the danger of it. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of my hand hath gotten me this wealth. You know, this is one of the reasons that mom and dad taught me from a child. When we get ready to eat, don't start eating until you pray and tell the Lord thanks for all that he has done. Thank you for this food that you've given us, because it's a reminder to us at least three times a day to say, Lord, you are the one that has given me what I have. So if next Sunday morning the Lord flashes on my mental screen, Dan, you're up in thanksgiving to me, mental and verbal, or a reminder, Dan, you know, what replaces in our mind if it's not thanksgiving? It's usually our troubles. It's usually the difficulties that we're in, and how am I going to get out of it? One or the other is usually there. This one, when good times are happening, for me to be very careful. And just the reminder, when we offer thanks at our meal, let's let it be something more than just, I've always done it, and it's just, I wouldn't want to start eating until I do it. But really to go to the Lord and say, Lord, again, I'm recognizing that you are the one that has given this to me, and I thank you for it. So there's another place for us to give thanks. And I think it was even kind of mentioned some this morning. Over in 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy, the second chapter, and in the first verse. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and the giving of thanks be made for all men. Now, that's quite a little statement right there. How do we give thanks for all men? I was reading a commentary. It says there's one thing we can be thankful for is mercy is offered to all men.
Yes.
I'm thankful, Lord, that you haven't cut out this out of the plan for anybody, no matter how they're living, whether they're wicked or whether they're righteous. Thank you, Lord. In Psalms 136, because your mercy endureth forever. Thank you, Lord, and it's extended to everyone. It says, for mercy is offered in behalf of all men, for heathens as well as for Christians, for enemies as well as for friends. And then it goes on down. Who are we praying for? Second verse, for kings and for all that are in authority. So I'm giving thanks for everyone that's in authority.
Yes.
That's quite a switch from some of the thoughts I can be thinking about those that are in authority. Lord, I thank you that you are able to plant thoughts into their mind. You remember how I did it before with kings? To be able to plant a thought that was not their own and would help to lead them in a certain direction. Give thanks for kings, for all that are in authority. And we got a desire, a reason why we do it, so that we would be able to lead a quiet and a peaceable life. And then it says, this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. This morning we heard about Daniel. He had an attitude toward kings. What was that attitude? When he gave to the king, saw the vision of what was going to happen to him in the next 7 years, said he would not even say it. He would not even start to talk about it. And when the king said, come on, tell me what it is, he said, oh king, let this vision, let this interpretation,
yes,
let it be to your enemies. Enemies. Looks like he was Daniel's enemy. That's why he was a prisoner. But yet he's saying, I would not want this to happen to you. What an attitude for him to have.
Yes.
And then when another king makes a decision that no one is going to pray or have any supplication to anyone but the king for 30 days, and now he's going to go to the lion's den. He does go to the lion's den, and the next morning the king comes there and said, "Did God, are you a survivor this morning?" What did he say? "O king, live forever." Now, what a reply to make to a king. You know, he could have said a lot of things to the king right then. The king was very humbled in his mind for what had happened. But instead, it's almost like Daniel saying, "King, if I had my way about it, you could just carry on with the things that you have to do, because I don't have a bad attitude toward you."
Yes.
There's some thanksgiving that is not acceptable to God. I can tell God, "God, I'm thankful for this," and he does not accept it. You remember which one that was in the Bible? When the two went down to pray, you know what? He brought thanksgiving to the Lord. "Lord, I thank you that I am not like other men. I fast twice in the week. Lord, I'm coming to you with some thanksgiving for all that you have done for me, that you have kept me from being like other men." And what does it say at the end of the prayer? It was the other man that went down to his house justified.
Yes.
So there are some prayers of thanksgiving that I can give, and it does not get the Lord's attention. I don't want to send up those kind. So it kind of warns me a little bit. How can that happen in this day and time? You know what? It's real easy for me to look at the world and how much it has degraded. And I could go to the Lord in that same vein and say, "Lord, I thank you. I'm not like this wicked world around me."
Yes.
There's got to be some. I can thank the Lord that he has grace that I am not like that. Mm-hmm. But there was some kind of an attitude inside of that person that caused it to not be acceptable. And I don't want that to happen in my life. But there are some that are acceptable. Some thanksgiving that we can give. In Hebrews 13 and 15, "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name."
Yes.
That's something that is well pleasing. When I look back in the scriptures at the times when they offered sacrifices, when Solomon offered 120,000 sheep or whatever, what that must have been like. I don't like to see blood myself to start with, but that was what was acceptable back then. But here's a sacrifice that's acceptable today. It's a sacrifice of praise to God. Oh, just Sunday morning when I get here, I need to change my thinking and start giving thanks to God and praise. Praise to God continually, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. So do you have a verse that we could put in our folder to mentally think about this next week? You have a verse that you want to add? And you know, for that to go over into the thankful category, that first verse was very important. "Behold the handmaid of the Lord." Because my screen time of thanksgiving is going to be cut a lot shorter if I'm not able to consecrate my life to the Lord. Whatever you send into my life, Lord, I accept it. And that's where we want to go. Does anyone else have another verse that you want to share before we go into this? So she said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me, even as thou wilt." I would like for us to go to Psalms 75 and 8. Sister Maxine has used this verse in the past, and I'd like for us to think about this now. "In the hand of the Lord there is a cup,"
yes,
"and it's full of mixture." I'd like to think about that for a little bit, along with this first verse, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord." It says, God holds in his hand a cup for people to drink, a cup whose contents can prolong life or can cause death. And I thought about this verse in Deuteronomy 30:19. I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life, so that both thou and thy seed shall live. In the hand of the Lord there's a cup. This cup was being extended to them at this time. I'm setting before you life and death, blessing and cursing. There can be something in the cup that will be blessing for you and your family. But you know what? It's off of choices that we have, that those, it could be just the opposite. What's in the cup is trouble that the Lord is sending. When we read this over in Psalm 75, if you went on, it's trouble that's coming on to people. But you know what? That trouble was a result of something that happened way earlier in their life. So I want to think about this. This cup is full of mixture. There's a cup for each one of us that the Lord is holding.
Yes.
It's a plan for our life. And it's got a mixture in it that He has prepared for us. In this commentary, it said, it's full of mixture. It's prepared in wisdom so as to answer an end. There are mixtures of mercy and grace in the cup of affliction when it's put into the hand of God's people. There is mercy and grace that can come. You know, when Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me as thou wilt." You know what? She recognized, I believe, what her consecration was going to cost her. Who is ever going to believe your story? Joseph didn't even believe it. Joseph was going to put her away.
Yes.
I believe she had all that to deal with in her mind before she said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me, even as thou wilt." You know, there are some things that can come to us in our life. I was thinking of the verse that we like to read, Jeremiah 29:11. "I know the thoughts that I think toward you. They're thoughts of peace and not of evil, to bring you to an expected end." I love that verse. But if you read the first part of the 29th chapter, those folks had just gone into captivity. They're going to be in captivity for 70 years. And part of this cup that he has, you know what? That cup for them was a result of the decisions that they had made to turn away from him before they went into captivity.
Yes.
If you would read Jeremiah, how many times he went to them ahead of time trying to get them to turn. They had opportunity for a while to turn. You'll also start reading where Jeremiah says, "It's too late now, they're coming. You're going to have to just submit to it, or there's going to be trouble for you if you don't submit." In our life, there's a cup for us. If I will consecrate to give my all to the Lord, "Lord, whatever you send into my life," how is it that Daniel could have? It says when he knew, "I'll go to the lion's den with this one." And he still opened his windows. And he still prayed 3 times a day. And he thanked the Lord. And I've thought about that. Why is that little piece in there? How can you give any thanks to the Lord knowing you're going to be in a lion's den in just a little bit?
Yes.
His thanksgiving can be the same as ours. Because the Lord says, "I'll never leave thee,
yes,
nor forsake thee." He could be very thankful that he's in a foreign land, but he's thankful that God's not restricted to borders. God is able to be right here with him. Well, we don't have the lion's den to face, but we do have some things that come our way,
yes,
that we can do like Mary and consecrate, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord." I'll tell you, when we do that, we'll be able to give thanks in the things the Lord sends to us. Here's a cup that someone was to drink from. In Matthew 26, and we're reminded of this every time we do the ordinance service. Matthew 26 and 27. Jesus took the cup and he gave thanks. You know what all that meant? given thanks. He knew more about what that cup was to mean than they did even right then. He gave thanks and said to them, saying, drink ye all of it. Gave thanks for what? He realizes, you know what, he's able to see what the future held. He knew the kind of death that he would die. And yet he gave thanks for it. Why would it be? Because he was able to see what it would purchase for us on down the road. He was able to give thanks for it. I believe there was a cup for Daniel.
Yes.
And in it, it had some adversity. Daniel took his cup and he gave thanks, knowing what the future could hold. It could be dismal things. Well, we have these verses over in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 18 that says, and it's a challenge to me, because I have a category that I have for thankful things. And I have quite a few things in them. I'm getting old enough now that I'll even give thanks when the Lord helps me find where I laid my keys down and I can't remember where it was. Or my checkbook. I saw it, but I don't know where it is. I mean, I'm getting more and more things to be thankful for. But there's some, this one says, in everything give thanks. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 18. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything, give thanks.
Yes.
Because I have some things over in the other side that I would not put in the thankful category. Some of those might would be just endurance. I'm going to hold on. I'm going to be faithful to the Lord. But I really cannot hardly give thanks for those things. And yet this verse just kind of keeps nagging at me. In everything, give thanks. Does it mean that I should say, I love having this kind of trouble. Would you send some more of it just like it to me? No, but when I'm in the middle of it, that I would do what Daniel did. Lord, I'm giving thanks that you're here with me.
Yes.
And that you have promised that you will go with me. Ephesians 5 and 20. Giving thanks always for all things. That's going to run our screen time up some. Even for the troubles, when it's over in the category that I would really rather this would not be happening, that I can give thanks that the Lord has promised to be with me through this trouble. I have thanksgiving that I bring to Him for the things that I do have. I'm still reminded of that little poem, Thank God for Dirty Dishes. Because you know what? That is a concept. It's not just one little thing and we think about it. It's the Thanksgiving meal when it was laid out at the table. It was a good feeling to say, thank you, Lord, for all of this.
Yes.
And then I've got this to take care of. It's just a reminder to me. I've got a lot of positive things in my life that it's easy to thank the Lord for. But all of these other things, Thanksgiving can also be given. There's a song that I'd like to read to you. It's kind of an old song. And you know, some songs you will look at them and you can just agree right with the song quickly and say, this is my testimony. Some songs you look at it and you have to say, this is my prayer.
Yes.
You know, you can read some of our songs and you say, boy, they were living up in the mountain. I no trouble and no sorrow see today, nor will I borrow gloomy visions of tomorrow. That's a pretty high testimony time you get through singing that song. I can still sing it and say, Lord, that's my prayer. I'd like to live a little closer to that. Well, that's the way with this song. This said, thank you for the valley I walked through today.
Yes.
Now, who's going to say, Lord, I sure thank you that it's a valley instead of a mountain? No, we'd all rather it be the mountain. But here's how he found thanksgiving for it. The darker the valley, the more I learn to pray. Have you found that out? I have. Times when I'm at a place where, Lord, I don't have another option here. I need your help real bad.
Amen.
And it's easy to go to praying right then, begging the Lord for help. The darker the valley, the more I learn to pray. I find you where the lilies are blooming, by the way. And I thank you for the valley that I walked through today. It said, life can be all sunshine or the flowers would die. The rivers would be deserts. all barren and dry. Life can't be all blessings, or there'd be no need to pray. And you know, surely that is so.
Yes.
After a while, maybe at first, constant blessings with no troubles, we would probably thank the Lord. After a while, I wonder how much real thanksgiving we would be given. Life can't be all blessings, or there'd be no need to pray. So I thank you for the valley I walked through today. It says, thank you for every hill I climb, for every time the sun didn't shine. Thank you for every lonely night. I prayed till I knew everything was all right. And I thank you for the valley that I walked through today. So, if I want to run my screen time up for next week, next Sunday morning when the Lord could tell me, okay, Dan, this week, how much thanksgiving, here I'll let you know how much true thanksgiving that you brought to me. It's not going to be just the list of the good things that you brought into my life, or my screen time sometimes will be up and sometimes will be down. But for me to be able in my life to say, Lord, I have these things that you have done that are good in my life. These over here, I would choose not to be there. But I want to run some screen time up on it, because in the middle of those times, I still want to say, I thank you.
Yes.
That you have promised you will never leave us nor forsake us, so that we may boldly say, the Lord's my helper. He will help us through the troubles that we come to. So this next week, be looking over in the thankful side. How thankful am I? I would like to say, well, you know what, I'm pretty thankful for things, for good things that come into my life. I even like to go back and tell the Lord thanks for those. What about the other ones? Can I still say, Lord, I thank you that you're in the middle of this with me.
Yes.
And that you will go with me through it. It'll run our screen time up of having thanksgiving to the Lord. I desire your prayers.